Your mind will always take the easy way if you let it. The only way to grow is to force it to do the hard things. That's the truth most people avoid. Every single day, your mind whispers excuses. It tells you to put things off, to relax instead of working, to choose what feels safe instead of what makes you stronger. And if you keep listening, you stay stuck exactly where you are. But when you decide to push past those excuses, even in the smallest ways, you change everything. This is not about being perfect. It's about proving to yourself that you can act even when you don't feel like it, that you can finish what you start, that you can do the hard things that most people run away from. In this audiobook, I'll show you how to train your mind to listen to your decisions, not your moods. Because once you master that, there's nothing you can't build in your life. Chapter 1. Force yourself to finish tasks you keep avoiding daily. If you really want to change your life, you need to learn how to force yourself to finish the tasks you keep avoiding. Think about it for a moment. Every single one of us has those things we put off. They sit on our desk, in our mind, or on our to-do list, and we keep moving them to tomorrow. The hard phone call, the uncomfortable conversation, the project we know we need to start, the exercise we promised ourselves, or even that book we said we would finish. These are the tasks that drain us more by avoiding them than by actually doing them. And that's the truth about human psychology. Avoiding what you know you should do builds stress, guilt, and frustration. It robs your confidence. When you avoid a task, you teach your mind that delay is an option. You train your brain to believe excuses are more important than progress. And each time you give in to delay, you weaken your own self-respect. That's the real cost of avoidance. Not the undone work, but the message it sends to your own mind: you can't trust yourself. That's why successful people live differently. They build the habit of facing hard things head-on. They finish what they avoid. And once you start doing that, you change the entire direction of your life. So how do you do it? First, you must understand that your feelings will not always support you. You will not feel like making that call. You will not feel like exercising when you're tired. You will not feel like working on that project when the television or the phone offers you something easier. If you wait for the feeling, you will wait forever. What separates people who grow from those who stay stuck is this: they act despite their feelings. They don't negotiate with themselves. They don't wait until the mood is right. They decide, and then they do. Forcing yourself to finish tasks you avoid starts with awareness. You need to be honest with yourself about what you keep pushing away. What is it you've been carrying for weeks, months, maybe even years? Write it down. Be clear. Don't hide from it. Your progress starts with facing it directly. If you can't be honest with yourself about what you avoid, you'll never build the discipline to finish it. The second step is to break the power of that task by taking action, not tomorrow, not later, but today. Pick one thing you've been avoiding and complete it fully. It might be small, it might be big, but finish it. Feel the weight lift off your shoulders. Notice how your energy changes. That feeling of release is your proof that action builds confidence. You've probably had that experience before. The moment you finally did the thing you kept putting off, you felt free. That's not just coincidence. That's psychology. Action ends anxiety. Avoidance multiplies it. The third step is to make this your rule. Never carry the same avoided task into tomorrow. If you see yourself moving something from today's list to tomorrow's list, that's the task you must finish first. Train your brain with this discipline. Over time, it becomes automatic. The mind learns that you are not the type of person who carries unfinished tasks. You become someone who closes loops, someone who follows through. That's how self-respect grows. Now, think about how this applies in real life. Imagine you've been delaying that tough email. Every day you avoid it, it lingers in your mind. You see it on your list, and you feel that small weight pressing on you. It distracts you from everything else. You even feel guilty when you try to relax. But the moment you sit down, type it out, and send it, the pressure disappears. That's the lesson. You were not tired of the work. You were tired of the avoidance. You were tired of carrying the weight, and the only way to put it down was to finish it. This is how you force your mind to do hard things. You give it proof. Every time you finish something you avoided, you show your brain that you are stronger than your excuses. That's how confidence is built. Confidence is not built from easy tasks or quick wins. It's built from proving to yourself that you can handle the things you least want to face. But understand this, it's not just about productivity, it's about your identity. Every time you finish a task you avoided, you are reshaping who you are. You're telling yourself, "I do hard things. I finish what I start." And when your identity changes, your life changes. Discipline is not about rules, it's about the story you tell yourself. If you see yourself as someone who avoids hard things, you'll act like it. But if you force yourself to finish them, you build a new story, one where you trust yourself to handle what others run from. Here's another key. Don't wait for big breakthroughs. Start small. If you can't finish the hard things on your plate, start with one. Make your bed. Pay that bill. Clear that clutter. Call that person. Write that page. Do something you've been putting off. These small wins create momentum. They build proof that you are taking charge. Momentum is what fuels discipline. One completed task gives you the energy to complete another, and before you know it, you've turned avoidance into action. And remember, finishing tasks you avoid doesn't just free your time, it frees your mind. Think about how heavy it feels to carry guilt and unfinished business. It steals your focus, it drains your mood, it even affects your sleep. But finishing those tasks clears mental space. It gives you peace, and peace is what allows you to move forward with strength. So here's the challenge. Pick one task you've been avoiding. Don't just think about it, do it today. Feel the difference. Then tomorrow, pick another. Make this a daily practice. If you do this for 30 days, you will not be the same person. You'll be stronger, clearer, and more confident. You will have trained your mind to obey your decisions instead of your feelings. This is the path to mastery. Not waiting for inspiration, not waiting for comfort, but taking control of your actions day after day. When you build this discipline, you can trust yourself to follow through. And when you trust yourself, there is nothing you can't accomplish. So start now. Don't carry today's weight into tomorrow. Don't let another day be stolen by avoidance. Force yourself to finish what you've been running from. That's how you grow. That's how you become disciplined. And that's how you take control of your future. Chapter 2. Build discipline by forcing yourself to take harder choices. Discipline is not built in comfort. It is built in the moments you force yourself to take the harder choice when the easier one is right in front of you. Life is full of crossroads, small ones, big ones, daily ones. Do you wake up on time or hit the snooze button? Do you eat the quick snack or prepare something healthy? Do you sit down to work or scroll endlessly on your phone? Each of these moments may seem small, but each decision trains your mind. Every choice tells your brain what kind of person you are becoming. If you take the easier option often enough, your mind begins to expect comfort. If you train yourself to take the harder choice, you build the muscle of discipline. Discipline is a practice of decision-making. Think about it. You don't suddenly become disciplined because you read a book or hear a speech. You become disciplined by choosing the harder path again and again. At first, your mind resists. It wants what feels good now, not what brings growth later. The urge to avoid pain, delay effort, or settle for convenience is strong. But that's the exact moment discipline is born, the point where you notice the easier option, feel its pull, and still move in the opposite direction. That decision, repeated consistently, is what hardens your character. You need to see the truth. Every time you take the harder choice, you gain control over yourself. You take power back from your impulses. You stop being a prisoner of mood and comfort. Imagine finishing your work even though your body begged for rest. Imagine saying no to distraction when every part of you wanted the release of wasting time. Imagine facing a challenge directly when avoidance felt safer. These moments may feel small, but stacked together, they become a foundation that cannot be shaken. The reason discipline matters so much is simple. Your goals will always demand hard work. Your dreams will always require sacrifice. There is no achievement worth having that comes without the harder choice. And when you practice choosing difficulty now, when the stakes are small, you prepare yourself for the bigger tests ahead. If you can resist the lure of one extra hour of sleep, you can resist the temptation to quit when business gets hard. If you can push yourself through one workout, you can push yourself through the exhausting days of building something meaningful. The little battles matter because they create your identity as someone who chooses strength over weakness. But how do you train this ability? Start by noticing. Discipline begins with awareness. Pay attention to the moments you automatically choose comfort. Ask yourself, what's the harder choice right now? If it's between washing the dishes now or leaving them for later, the harder choice is clear. If it's between having a productive hour of work or spending it scrolling, the harder choice is clear. If it's between confronting a problem or ignoring it, the harder choice is clear. Once you see it, commit to taking it. Don't give yourself room to bargain. Act before the excuses show up. The next step is to accept that the harder choice won't always feel good at the start. It's not supposed to. That's why it's called the harder choice. But here's the truth. It only feels hard at the beginning. Once you move through it, you discover strength you didn't know you had. Think about the last time you pushed yourself into action. Maybe it was exercise, maybe it was work, maybe it was a difficult decision. At first, you resisted, but once you started, the resistance weakened. The hardest part was getting past your hesitation. That's the psychology behind discipline. The discomfort shrinks the moment you commit to action. Another important point is to build consistency. Discipline is not about one dramatic decision. It's about hundreds of small ones. The way you carry yourself through the day matters more than any single big achievement. You build discipline the same way you build strength in the gym. Repetition. One hard choice doesn't transform you, but 1,000 will. And over time, your brain begins to expect it. You no longer fight with yourself for hours. You simply decide, and you follow through. Think about how powerful that is, living a life where your mind listens to your decisions instead of your impulses. Most people don't experience that freedom. They live at the mercy of mood. They wait until they feel like doing something, but feelings are unreliable. Discipline is the force that overrides feelings, and every time you choose the harder path, you strengthen that force. Now, let's bring this to your daily life. Say you finish work and you're exhausted. You have two options: collapse on the couch for the rest of the evening, or spend 1 hour on the project that matters to you. The easy choice gives you momentary comfort. The harder choice gives you growth. Say you're faced with a meal decision, fast food or a healthy plate you prepare yourself. The easy choice satisfies you now. The harder choice makes you healthier tomorrow. Say you're confronted with a conflict, avoid the uncomfortable conversation, or have it directly. The easy choice keeps the peace for a moment. The harder choice builds honesty and respect. These are real decisions we all face, and every single time you force yourself to take the harder option, you earn the discipline that will serve you in bigger battles. But here's the warning. If you consistently choose the easier path, you train your mind to expect weakness. You tell yourself that excuses are valid. You build the habit of quitting before you even begin. And that habit spreads into every area of life. If you can't trust yourself to make small sacrifices, you won't be able to make the big ones when they matter. That's why this practice is so urgent. Every easy choice weakens you. Every hard choice strengthens you. There's no neutral ground. You must also learn how to prepare yourself for these decisions. One way is to set clear rules. For example, if you decide to wake up at 6, don't negotiate at 6 in the morning. Decide once and stick to it. If you decide to exercise 4 times a week, don't ask yourself whether you feel like it on workout day. The decision is already made. This removes bargaining from your mind. When you know the rule, you follow it, no matter how you feel in the moment. That's discipline. Another strategy is to track your hard choices. Write them down. At the end of the day, ask yourself, where did I take the harder path today? Seeing your progress in writing reinforces your identity. You begin to recognize yourself as someone who does not settle for comfort, and that recognition builds pride. Pride is not arrogance, it is the quiet confidence that you can rely on yourself. There's also a deeper psychological benefit. Every time you take the harder choice, you reduce the power of fear. Fear thrives in comfort. When you avoid difficulty, fear grows. When you face difficulty, fear shrinks. And the more you practice, the less intimidating hard things become. You start to look at them differently. Instead of thinking this is impossible, you think this is another chance to grow. That shift in perspective changes everything. You should also understand that discipline is contagious within your own life. If you take the harder choice in one area, you are more likely to take it in another. Push yourself in your health, and you'll find it easier to push yourself in your career. Choose the harder path in your work, and you'll find it easier to confront challenges in relationships. Discipline builds across domains. That's why one change, like waking up on time or committing to a consistent workout, can transform your confidence in every other part of life. Now think about the opposite. If you refuse to build discipline, you carry regret. Regret is heavy. It grows each time you know you could have taken the harder choice but didn't, and regret follows you. It whispers to you when you try to sleep. It weighs you down when you try to move forward. The only way to silence regret is through action, not promises, not intentions. Action. Choosing the harder road today. So, here is the truth. Discipline will never come by accident. You must create it. You create it by standing at the crossroads of comfort and difficulty and stepping firmly into difficulty. You do it when you want to run, but instead you face. You do it when you want to quit, but instead you push. You do it when you want relief, but instead you choose growth. This is how strong people are made. This is how character is formed. Every day gives you dozens of opportunities to practice. You don't need to wait for a grand challenge. It's in the small, ordinary moments, getting out of bed, finishing the work, keeping a promise, following through. Each of these is a chance to take the harder choice. If you can master these moments, the larger challenges of life will not break you. And the reward is enormous. When you build discipline, you create freedom. Freedom from regret. Freedom from weakness. Freedom from wasted potential. You wake up knowing you can trust yourself to do what must be done. That is the deepest kind of confidence, not the shallow confidence of appearance, but the deep confidence of integrity. You know you are reliable, and that knowledge is priceless. So practice today. Force yourself into the harder choice whenever it appears. Do it not once, but every day. Do it until it becomes automatic. Do it until people look at you and wonder how you became so steady, so reliable, so strong. And when they ask, you will know the answer, because you built discipline by forcing yourself to take the harder choices. That is how you grow into the person capable of carrying big dreams, heavy responsibilities, and a life of meaning.
Chapter 3. Take control of your mind when it looks for escape. Your mind has a clever way of trying to escape when life demands effort. The moment pressure shows up, the moment discomfort rises, your brain looks for the nearest exit. It whispers, "Do it later, take a break, find something easier." It offers you distraction, entertainment, or comfort to avoid what matters most. If you don't take control in those moments, your mind will lead you away from progress and toward regret. That's why learning how to master your thoughts when they search for escape is one of the most important skills you can ever develop. Every person faces this challenge. You sit down to work, and suddenly the urge to check your phone becomes irresistible. You plan to exercise, and suddenly your body convinces you that rest is more important. You promise to finish a task, but your mind finds 100 excuses to step away. This is not weakness unique to you. This is human psychology. The brain is designed to avoid discomfort. It will look for any route that removes effort. If you allow it, it will run the show. But when you take control, you begin to rewire how your mind responds. You shift from being a servant to being the master. The first step is awareness. You cannot control what you do not see. Pay close attention to when your mind tries to escape. Notice the patterns. It usually happens when something feels hard, when the outcome is uncertain, or when boredom sets in. You'll recognize the urge to get up, to procrastinate, to delay. Catch that moment. Don't let it slip by unnoticed. That is the doorway to change. Once you see it, you can decide. Without awareness, you act on autopilot. With awareness, you reclaim choice. The second step is interruption. When you feel the pull to escape, stop yourself for a moment. Don't rush into the distraction. Breathe. Tell yourself, "I see what's happening." That pause is powerful. It breaks the automatic cycle. Instead of letting your brain drag you into avoidance, you create a space where discipline can step in. Even 2 or 3 seconds of awareness can change the entire outcome. The third step is redirection. Your mind wants to leave the task because it feels uncomfortable. But instead of giving in, direct yourself back to what you committed to. Say, "I will continue for 5 more minutes. Often the resistance weakens once you re-engage. This is because the hardest part is not the work itself, but overcoming the impulse to escape. By re-engaging, you train your brain that escape is not the answer. You build mental toughness by holding yourself in the place of discomfort until it loses its power. You also need to understand the cost of escape. Every time you give in, you reinforce weakness. You train your mind to believe that quitting is acceptable, and that belief carries into everything you do. Small escapes build into big ones. Avoiding one conversation turns into avoiding responsibility. Skipping one workout turns into abandoning your health. Ignoring one task turns into years of wasted potential. You don't just lose time, you lose trust in yourself. That's why it's so important to break the habit early, in the small daily decisions where escape feels harmless. Control comes from repetition. Each time you resist the urge to escape, you grow stronger. Each time you stay with the hard thing instead of running, you carve a new pattern in your brain. At first, it feels unnatural. The pull to escape is strong, but over time, it becomes your new normal. You become the kind of person who does not run at the first sign of discomfort. You become steady, grounded, reliable. And that steadiness is what separates those who succeed from those who never reach their potential. Let's put this into real-life examples. Imagine you sit down to study, and your mind says, "Check your messages." Instead of giving in, you say, "I'll work for 10 more minutes first." you return to focus, and after those minutes, you've built momentum. Imagine you commit to exercising, and halfway through, your mind says, "Stop now, you've done enough." Instead of listening, you say, "I'll finish the plan I set." You push through, and when you're done, you feel stronger, not weaker. Imagine you're in a conversation that feels tense, and your mind says, "Change the subject, avoid the discomfort." Instead of escaping, you stay and finish the truth you needed to say. Each of these moments trains your mind to respect your decisions, not its impulses. It's also important to design your environment. Control is easier when you remove the easy exit. If your phone is always near, distraction will always tempt you. Put it in another room when you work. If unhealthy food is always within reach, your mind will escape to it whenever discipline feels tiring. Remove it from your space. If you're constantly surrounded by people who avoid responsibility, your mind will adopt their habits. Choose an environment that supports your growth, not your escape. Control is not only internal, it's external too. Another practice is to remind yourself of your reason. When your mind looks for escape, it forgets why you started. Bring your goal back into focus. Ask yourself, why does this matter? If you are working on your health, remind yourself of the energy and strength you want. If you are working on your career, remind yourself of the freedom and stability you're building. If you are working on yourself, remind yourself of the pride you will feel when you follow through. A clear reason strengthens your resolve. Without it, escape wins easily. One of the strongest tools you have is accountability. When your mind looks for escape, it thrives on secrecy. It whispers that no one will notice if you quit. But if you have someone you check in with, whether a mentor, a friend, or even yourself through a journal, you break that secrecy. You make your commitment visible. And visibility creates pressure to follow through. Tell someone your goal. Write down your daily choices. Track when you resist escape. These actions create proof that you are in control. You must also learn to accept discomfort as part of growth. Your mind escapes because it believes discomfort is a threat. But discomfort is not a threat. It is a signal that you are expanding. When you stay with it, you grow stronger. When you run from it, you stay the same. Train yourself to welcome discomfort. Tell yourself, this is the price of progress. When you change your relationship with discomfort, escape loses its power. Over time, you'll notice something remarkable. The same situations that once triggered escape will no longer bother you. What used to feel impossible will feel normal. You'll study without needing constant breaks. You'll exercise without negotiating with yourself. You'll work through challenges without searching for distraction. That is the reward of discipline. Freedom from the constant urge to run. But remember, this isn't about perfection. You will slip. You will give in sometimes. The key is not to let those moments define you. Recognize them. Learn from them. And return to discipline quickly. Each time you recover, you prove to yourself that you can get back on track. Control is not about never falling. It's about rising faster each time you do. There is another layer to this. Emotional control. Often, the mind looks for escape, not because of the task, but because of the emotions attached to it. Fear, doubt, insecurity. These are powerful triggers. When you feel them, your mind offers you escape to avoid pain. The key is to face the emotion instead of running. If you're afraid, admit it, and still act. If you doubt yourself, acknowledge it, and still move forward. If you feel insecure, remind yourself that growth always feels uncertain. When you face your emotions, you weaken their hold. When you escape, you feed them. Think about the long-term vision of your life. Do you want to look back and see a pattern of escapes, or a record of control? The difference will shape your destiny. Those who allow escape to rule them, never reach their potential. Those who master their mind create lives of strength, discipline, and fulfillment. Every day you practice control, you invest in that future. Every time you resist escape, you step closer to the person you want to be. So here's the challenge for you today. Pay attention to your mind. Watch how it tries to escape. Don't judge yourself. Just notice, then interrupt it. Redirect yourself back to the task. Hold steady until the impulse passes. Do this once, then again. Make it your daily practice. Over time, you will discover a power you didn't know you had, the power to command your own mind. And when you can command your mind, you can command your life. You will no longer be a victim of distraction, fear, or avoidance. You will be in charge. You will be free. And that freedom comes not from running, but from staying, from finishing, from facing what matters when your mind looks for the door. That is real control. That is the foundation of discipline. That is the path to the life you want.
Chapter 4. Do the work even when your feelings fight against it. There will be days when your feelings scream at you to stop. You will wake up tired, unmotivated, and discouraged. Your emotions will tell you to put things off, to take it easy, to wait for a better moment. You will feel resistance in your chest, in your body, and in your mind. That is when the true test begins. Anyone can act when their energy is high and their mood is positive. The real measure of discipline is whether you can do the work when every part of you argues against it. This is where growth is forged, not in the easy moments, but in the ones where your feelings fight your decisions. Feelings are powerful, but they are temporary. They rise and fall depending on sleep, food, stress, and countless other factors. If you allow your feelings to decide for you, your life will become inconsistent. Some days you will move forward, other days you will stall, and over time the inconsistency will cost you opportunities. The path to stability is learning how to separate decisions from emotions. When you commit to doing the work regardless of how you feel, you become reliable. You no longer live at the mercy of your moods. You set the standard, and your actions follow it. Think about it. Success in any area, health, business, relationships, personal growth, requires consistency. Consistency cannot exist if you obey your feelings. There will always be days where you don't feel like showing up. The athlete who wins is not the one who trains only when motivated. It's the one who trains when tired, when sore, when unmotivated, because they know the work must be done. The professional who thrives is not the one who performs only when inspired. It's the one who delivers every day, even under pressure, even when doubt whispers in their ear. This principle applies to every area of life. You must act even when your emotions resist. The mind plays tricks in these moments. It exaggerates the discomfort of effort. It tells you that the task is harder than it really is. It convinces you that delay will make it easier later, but the opposite is true. The longer you wait, the heavier the task becomes. The more you hesitate, the louder your emotions grow. The way to quiet them is not by listening, but by acting. Action weakens resistance. Once you begin, your feelings often shift. You find focus, you find rhythm, and you discover that the work is not as unbearable as your emotions suggested. It's important to understand that this is not about ignoring your feelings entirely. Feelings carry information. They tell you when you're tired, stressed, or overwhelmed, but they should not be in control. You can acknowledge them without obeying them. You can feel tired and still work. You can feel anxious and still take the step. You can feel unmotivated and still honor your commitment. This is the difference between those who stay stuck and those who grow. Stuck people wait for feelings to align with action. Growing people act first and let feelings adjust later. In practical terms, this means building systems that remove the option of quitting. For example, set a rule that you start working at a certain time no matter how you feel. When the clock strikes that hour, you begin. No negotiation,
No bargaining, or set a rule that you exercise a set number of times each week, and you follow through whether motivated or not. These systems anchor your behavior to decisions, not emotions. They create stability, and stability builds results. Another key is to shrink the decision down. When your feelings resist, the full weight of the task can seem overwhelming. Instead of focusing on the entire project, focus on starting. Tell yourself you'll do 5 minutes. Sit down, open the file, write a few lines, make a single call, take the first step. Once you begin, momentum often carries you further. The hardest part is not the work itself, but breaking through the wall of emotion at the beginning. By making the first step small and non-negotiable, you bypass the emotional storm and move into action. You also need to develop a clear vision of why the work matters. When emotions rise, they narrow your perspective. They make you focus on the discomfort of the moment. To counter that, lift your eyes to the bigger picture. Remind yourself of the reason behind your effort. Are you working to build financial stability? Are you training to protect your health? Are you studying to create a better future? These reasons are bigger than the mood of the moment. When you connect to them, the temporary resistance loses power. You see that the pain of doing the work is small compared to the pain of regret. Every time you do the work against your feelings, you strengthen your character. You prove to yourself that you are not controlled by temporary emotions. This builds trust with yourself. Self-trust is one of the greatest assets you can have. When you trust yourself, you no longer wonder whether you'll follow through. You know you will, because you've built a track record of action regardless of mood. That trust gives you confidence, and confidence fuels progress. Consider the alternative. If you only act when you feel like it, you live in a cycle of starts and stops. You begin projects, but never finish. You make promises, but rarely keep them. You feel guilty because you know what needs to be done, but you let your emotions win. That guilt erodes your confidence. It makes you doubt yourself, and doubt slows you further. This is the spiral many people live in. The only way out is to break the cycle by acting against your feelings and proving you can win the small battles each day. It's also worth mentioning that your feelings often change after the work is done. Think about how many times you didn't feel like exercising, but after you did, you felt proud, energized, and strong. Think about how many times you dreaded a task, but once it was finished, you felt relief and accomplishment. The work itself creates positive feelings. If you wait for feelings before acting, you'll stay stuck. If you act first, you'll create the feelings you wanted all along. One way to train this is to practice delayed gratification. When you feel the pull of comfort, resist it until after the work is finished. For example, don't watch television until you've completed your tasks. Don't relax until your responsibilities are done. This trains your brain to connect pleasure with productivity, not avoidance. Over time, it becomes natural to finish work before seeking comfort. Another practice is to use physical cues to anchor action. For instance, if you work at a desk, set up a specific ritual that signals it's time to begin. Turning on a lamp, opening your notebook, setting a timer. These cues bypass your emotions and tell your brain it's time to act. Small habits like this can carry you through moments of resistance without relying on motivation. You should also pay attention to the language you use with yourself. If you constantly say, "I don't feel like it," you give power to that thought. Replace it with, "It's time to do it." Simple, direct commands shift your focus from feelings to decisions. The way you talk to yourself matters. Strong, clear language builds discipline. Weak, uncertain language feeds avoidance. Over time, the more you practice acting against your feelings, the easier it becomes. You stop expecting work to feel good before you begin. You accept that feelings are unreliable, and you build your life around action instead. That shift creates freedom. You no longer wait for moods to guide you. You guide yourself. You become steady in a world where most people are swayed by every passing emotion. This is how people achieve greatness. Not by being inspired every day, but by showing up every day. Not by feeling strong all the time, but by acting strong even when they feel weak. not by chasing motivation, but by creating results through discipline. The difference is simple. Most people are controlled by feelings, but the successful control themselves. So the challenge is clear. When your feelings fight against you, don't wait for them to change. Act in spite of them. Begin the work. Stay with it. Finish it. Notice how the feelings shift after you've done what needed to be done. Collect these victories and let them build your self-trust. With every action against resistance, you build a stronger, more disciplined version of yourself. The future you want depends on this skill. The goals you dream of achieving will not wait for your emotions to align. They demand consistent action. They demand reliability. They demand that you work even when it's hard. And the good news is, you already have the ability. It's a decision. It's a choice. And the more often you make it, the easier it becomes. Do the work even when your feelings fight against it. That is how you separate yourself. That is how you build strength. That is how you move from wishing for change to creating it. Your emotions are not in charge. You are. And the moment you take that power back, your entire life begins to shift.
Chapter 5. Train your brain to stay steady under real stress. Stress is a part of life that nobody can escape. It shows up in deadlines, financial pressure, conflicts, uncertainty, and unexpected events. Some people collapse under it while others seem to handle it with calm and strength. The difference isn't luck. It isn't that one person has fewer problems. The difference is training. Your brain can be conditioned to stay steady under stress instead of breaking down. Just like muscles grow stronger under resistance, your mind can grow steadier under pressure if you deliberately train it. Without that training, stress controls you. With it, you control yourself. The first truth to accept is that stress itself is not the real enemy. Stress will always exist. Life is full of demands and challenges. What damages people is not stress itself, but the inability to manage it. One person faces a heavy workload and uses it to become sharper and more productive. Another faces the same workload and crumbles into frustration and exhaustion. The difference is not the workload, but the response. You cannot remove stress from your life, but you can learn how to respond with steadiness. That is where power lies. When stress hits, the natural reaction is panic or avoidance. The brain interprets pressure as a threat and wants to run. Your heart races, your thoughts scatter, and your emotions rise. If you act on that first reaction, you lose control. You make poor choices. You delay action. You hurt your progress. The skill you need is to pause, recognize the stress, and stay steady enough to think clearly. That pause is a form of power. It prevents you from reacting blindly and allows you to act with strategy. One of the best ways to build this steadiness is exposure. You must deliberately put yourself in situations that stretch you. If you avoid every form of pressure, you never build the resilience needed for bigger challenges. Small stresses prepare you for larger ones. For example, if you practice finishing tasks on time even when the deadline feels uncomfortable, you train yourself to stay focused when deadlines are serious. If you confront small conflicts instead of avoiding them, you prepare yourself for more intense conversations later. Stress tolerance works like conditioning. The more you expose yourself to it in manageable amounts, the more capable you become. Another practice is to control your breathing. This may sound simple, but it is powerful. Under stress, your body reacts first. Your breath becomes shallow, your heart beats faster, and your muscles tense. This physical reaction fuels panic. If you interrupt it by slowing your breathing, you send a message to your brain that you are safe. You calm your nervous system and give yourself space to think. Just a few steady breaths can change how you handle a stressful moment. It's not about ignoring the problem, it's about calming the body so the mind can function. Mental reframing is another essential tool. Stress often feels unbearable because of the way you interpret it. If you see stress as proof that you're failing, it becomes heavier.
If you see it as proof that you are being tested and strengthened, it becomes manageable. Perspective shifts the weight of stress. Remind yourself that pressure means you are alive, that you are growing, that you are trusted with responsibility. This isn't about pretending things are easy. It's about choosing an interpretation that gives you strength instead of weakness. Structure also helps the mind stay steady. Stress feels overwhelming when it's vague. A pile of responsibilities feels heavier than a clear list of tasks. When you write things down, break them into steps, and create an order, your brain calms. The chaos becomes structure. You no longer feel attacked from all directions. You see what needs to be done first, second, and third. This clarity doesn't erase stress, but it makes it manageable. You prove to yourself that you are not powerless. You have a plan. Another training method is to practice focus in the middle of discomfort. When stress rises, your attention wants to scatter. It jumps from thought to thought, problem to problem. If you allow it, you waste energy in worry instead of action. To train steadiness, you must force yourself to focus on what can be done now. Ask yourself, what is the next useful step, and give all your energy to that. Ignore the noise, ignore the temptation to handle everything at once, and discipline your mind to narrow its attention. This single habit can prevent collapse under pressure. It's also important to care for your body. Stress hits harder when you are weak physically. If you are constantly tired, poorly nourished, or inactive, your ability to stay steady shrinks. Training your brain to handle stress is not just mental, it's physical. Exercise teaches you how to endure discomfort. Proper sleep gives your brain recovery. Nutrition stabilizes your energy. These habits don't eliminate stress, but they raise your threshold for handling it. A strong body supports a steady mind. You should also prepare yourself mentally for stress before it arrives. Too many people are shocked when pressure shows up. They expect life to be easy. And when it isn't, they panic. Instead, expect stress. Expect setbacks, delays, and challenges. If you see them as normal parts of life, you won't be shaken when they arrive. Preparation reduces panic. You don't ask, why me? Instead, you say, I knew this would happen, and I know how to handle it. That readiness is what keeps you steady. Another key is detachment. Stress feels unbearable when you become consumed by it. If you tie your entire identity to a single outcome, every obstacle feels like life or death. To stay steady, you must step back. Remind yourself that stress is temporary. That one failure does not define you. That you are larger than the current pressure. Detachment gives you perspective. It allows you to see stress as one event among many, not the end of the world. This reduces the emotional intensity and allows clearer thinking. Learn to use stress as feedback instead of seeing it only as a burden. Stress often points to areas where growth is needed. If a certain situation overwhelms you, that's a signal that this is the area to strengthen. If public speaking stresses you, practice it more. If deadlines stress you, discipline your time management. If responsibility stresses you, gradually take on more. Each stressor is a teacher showing you where to train. Instead of avoiding it, lean into it as an opportunity to grow. It's also crucial to keep a long-term view. Stress feels worse when you see only the present moment. If you step back and look at the bigger picture, the weight often shrinks. Ask yourself, will this matter a year from now? Will this challenge break me? Or will it pass like the others I've already overcome? Most of the time, the things that feel unbearable in the moment fade quickly. Holding on to perspective keeps you from exaggerating the importance of temporary pressure. Finally, practice gratitude even under stress. Stress focuses your attention on what is wrong. Gratitude shifts your attention to what is still right. No matter how heavy life feels, there are always things to appreciate: your health, your opportunities, your relationships, your ability to learn. Gratitude doesn't erase stress, but it balances it. It keeps you from drowning in negativity and helps you stay steady. Training your brain to stay steady under stress is not a one-time event. It is daily practice. It is choosing to breathe instead of panic, to focus instead of scatter, to act instead of free. It is putting yourself in situations that stretch you, caring for your body, and reframing your perspective. Each time you practice, you build resilience. Each time you face stress with steadiness, you prove to yourself that you can handle more than you thought. Over time, this training transforms you. You stop fearing stress, because you know you can handle it. You stop running from pressure, because you know it makes you stronger. You stop doubting your ability, because you've proven it again and again. This is how leaders are built. This is how confidence is earned. Not by avoiding stress, but by training the brain to stay steady inside it. Life will continue to bring pressure. Challenges will never disappear, but you do not need them to disappear. You need to become someone who remains calm, clear and strong no matter what shows up. That ability is worth more than comfort. It is the foundation of discipline, growth and lasting success. And it begins the moment you decide that stress will not control you, you will control yourself.
Chapter 6. Push forward when laziness whispers to stop right now. Laziness is not always loud. Most of the time it comes as a quiet whisper in your mind, telling you to stop, telling you that you have done enough, telling you that you deserve to rest even when you know you haven't earned it yet. That whisper sounds gentle, but it is the voice that keeps people from their potential. It shows up at the exact moment when progress is about to be made, when effort is required, when the next step could change everything. If you give in to it, you repeat the same cycle of quitting early and never seeing results. If you learn to push forward at that moment, you separate yourself from the crowd and train your character in a way that cannot be taken from you. You know this voice well. It comes when the alarm goes off early and your bed feels too comfortable. It comes when you're working on something important and your brain says, you can finish later. It comes in the middle of a workout when your body says, enough for today. These moments happen to everyone. The difference is not who hears them, but who decides to push forward anyway. That's what builds resilience. That's what strengthens the mind. Laziness wants immediate relief. It wants to avoid discomfort in the short term, even if it means creating bigger problems in the long term. It tricks you into believing that stopping now is harmless, but the cost is heavy. Each time you stop when you should continue, you reinforce weakness. You tell your mind that comfort matters more than growth, and soon, stopping early becomes a habit that touches every area of your life. You start to quit conversations, projects, responsibilities, and goals halfway through. The pattern of laziness becomes your identity. That is why it is so dangerous. It's not just about one skipped task, it's about who you are training yourself to become. When the whisper comes, you must have a rule in place. The rule is simple, keep going a little longer. If you plan to work for an hour and at 30 minutes, laziness tells you to stop, commit to 10 more minutes. If you promised yourself 20 push-ups and your body tells you to stop at 12, push through until 20. This practice of going past the whisper is where real discipline is built. Each time you override it, you prove to yourself that laziness does not control you. That proof strengthens your self-respect, and self-respect is the foundation of confidence. Another way to defeat laziness is to anchor yourself in clarity. Laziness thrives in moments of vagueness. When you are unclear about what you need to do, the whisper has power. It convinces you to delay because the task feels endless. That's why you need to set clear, specific goals. Instead of saying, I'll work on this project, decide, I'll complete this one section by noon. Instead of saying, I'll exercise, decide, I'll run 2 miles. Clear goals shrink the space where laziness operates. They give you a finish line to focus on, and focusing on that line helps you move forward even when you don't feel like it. It also helps to remind yourself of the bigger cost of quitting. Ask yourself, what will it cost me if I stop now? The answer is always the same. You lose progress, you lose momentum, and you lose the chance to trust yourself. This thought makes the whisper weaker, because while stopping feels good in the moment, Regret feels worse later. When you picture the regret, the choice becomes clear. Do you want a few minutes of comfort now, or the satisfaction of knowing you followed through? The satisfaction always outweighs the comfort. One practical strategy is to use physical movement to break laziness. When your energy dips, your mind starts searching for reasons to stop. If you respond by moving your body, standing up, stretching, changing posture, you create a surge of energy that can carry you past the urge to quit. Your body and your mind are connected. By moving one, you influence the other. That's why sitting still while listening to the whisper makes it stronger. But taking action interrupts the pattern and puts you back in control. Another key is to limit the negotiation you allow in your mind. Laziness gains power when you start debating with it. The longer you entertain thoughts like maybe I should stop now, the more convincing they become. Don't argue with laziness, decide quickly. Push forward without giving it oxygen. The faster you act, the weaker the whisper becomes. Delay only makes it louder. You also need to recognize that laziness often disguises itself as kindness. It says things like, you deserve rest, or take it easy, you've worked hard enough. While rest is important, there is a difference between earned rest and avoid. Laziness tries to convince you that avoiding effort is self-care. But in reality, self-care is keeping promises to yourself. True rest feels satisfying because it follows effort. False rest feels empty because it comes from quitting. Learn to distinguish the two. Over time, the more you push past laziness, the quieter it becomes. It never disappears completely, but it loses its power. You become the type of person who expects resistance and moves forward anyway. You no longer wait for the perfect mood. You no longer give weight to excuses. You act because you decided to act. That identity makes you unstoppable in a world where most people stop at the first sign of discomfort. Imagine what your life would look like if you applied this consistently. Projects would be finished, not abandoned. Goals would be achieved, not delayed. Promises would be kept, not broken. You would trust yourself to follow through in every area of life. That trust would spread into your relationships, your work, and your personal growth. The difference between the person who gives in to laziness and the person who pushes forward is the difference between a life of regret and a life of pride. The real secret is understanding that pushing forward is not just about the task at hand. It's about shaping your future. Each time you defeat laziness, you build momentum that carries into tomorrow. Each time you give in, you steal momentum from your future self. Think about that. The decision you make in the next 5 minutes is not small. It determines who you will be tomorrow. That is why discipline feels so powerful. You are not just working on a task, you are working on yourself. So the next time laziness whispers to stop, see it for what it is. It's not a signal that you should quit, it's a test asking you, will you give in, or will you grow, push forward, take one more step, do one more rep, write one more page, make one more call, then do another. Keep going until the whisper fades into the background. The feeling of pride and control that follows will always be greater than the temporary comfort of quitting. This is how you build a disciplined life. By pushing forward, not once, but over and over, until it becomes your normal response. Laziness will always whisper, but you will have trained yourself not to listen. And when you live that way, you no longer wait for motivation. You no longer worry about failure. You know that whatever resistance shows up, you will keep moving. That is the freedom that comes from discipline. That is the strength that builds success. And it all begins in the simple but powerful choice to push forward when laziness tells you to stop right now.
Chapter 7. Win over your mind. By sticking to simple promises, your mind is always watching what you do. Every time you make a promise to yourself, even the smallest one, your brain records whether you keep it or whether you break it. This is how self-respect is built or destroyed. If you say you will wake up at a certain time, and you actually get up, your brain notes it. If you say you will drink more water today, and you follow through, your brain trusts you a little more. If you promise to finish a task before the day ends, and you actually complete it, your brain learns that you are reliable. On the other hand, when you say one thing and do another, your mind starts to doubt you. It learns that your words don't mean much, and once that happens, you weaken your own confidence because deep down you know you cannot count on yourself. The way to win over your mind is not through grand declarations or dramatic goals, but through simple promises you keep. Small commitments done consistently are far more powerful than huge ambitions that never materialize. If you want to rebuild trust with yourself, start with something realistic. Promise to make your bed each morning and keep it. Promise to read 10 pages of a book and do it. Promise to walk for 15 minutes and follow through. These may seem small, but they carry enormous weight because they prove to your mind that you mean what you say. Over time, this repetition creates a new identity. You begin to see yourself as someone who follows through. That identity becomes the foundation for bigger achievements. Most people fail, not because they cannot do hard things, but because they overwhelm themselves with unrealistic promises. They swear they will completely change their life overnight. They set huge goals with no structure, and when they inevitably fall short, their mind loses faith in them. The better approach is steady consistency. Build discipline by showing yourself proof through small wins. If you can trust yourself with the little things, you can trust yourself with the big ones. Confidence is built like a staircase, not a leap. Your promises are like contracts with yourself. They are not for others to see. They are the agreements you make privately that shape how you feel publicly. If you keep those contracts, you walk with strength. If you break them, you carry quiet shame. Think about how heavy it feels when you know you said you would do something, but you didn't. That disappointment lingers, even if nobody else knows. Now think about the pride you feel when you keep a commitment, even if it's small. The sense of control and satisfaction is real. That's the psychology you need to harness. Winning over your mind is not about perfection. You will miss sometimes, but the goal is to build a pattern where your actions match your promises most of the time. This pattern builds reliability, and reliability builds belief. When you know you will do what you say, you no longer waste energy doubting yourself. You free up mental space to focus on progress instead of excuses. That is how momentum is created. To make this work, you need to keep your promises simple and clear. Vague promises are easy to break. Saying I'll be more productive tomorrow is too unclear. Saying I'll finish this report by noon is specific. Saying I'll be healthier this week is vague. Saying I'll avoid soda for the next 7 days is clear. The clearer the promise, the easier it is to measure and the harder it is to escape. Another key is to never overpromise to yourself. Start with promises that you know you can keep. It's better to build confidence with small wins than to destroy it with big failures. Over time, once your track record is strong, you can expand. Think of it like lifting weights. You don't start with the heaviest load, you start light, you prove you can handle it, and then you gradually increase. Promises work the same way. Begin with what you can handle. Add more as you grow. The habit of sticking to promises also strengthens your ability to resist temptation. When you practice saying yes to discipline and no to excuses in small things, you carry that strength into larger challenges. If you train yourself to finish a simple task before relaxing, you're more likely to finish an important project before procrastinating. The small becomes practice for the big.
This is how discipline expands across your life. One of the most damaging things people do is speak casually to themselves. They say, "I'll do it tomorrow," but tomorrow never comes. They say, "I'll cut back," but they never commit. Each time this happens, your brain learns that your words are empty. You cannot afford to speak casually about commitments. If you say it, mean it. If you don't intend to do it, don't say it. Protect the value of your promises. That value is the core of your relationship with yourself. Keeping promises to yourself is also what builds resilience during difficult times. When stress, fatigue, or doubt show up, you fall back on your habits. If you have built a habit of keeping promises, you will follow through even in hard seasons. If you haven't, you will collapse under pressure. This is why consistency matters more than intensity. A person who has consistently kept small promises is stronger in a crisis than someone who has broken big ones repeatedly. The strength is not in the size of the promise, but in the reliability of the follow-through. Another benefit of sticking to promises is clarity of identity. You stop questioning who you are. You stop wondering if you are disciplined, capable, or strong. You know you are because you have evidence. Every small completed promise is evidence. This clarity builds an unshakable kind of confidence. You don't need others to validate you. You don't need external motivation. You have proof inside yourself. That proof is what allows you to face bigger challenges without hesitation. To apply this practically, create a short list of non-negotiables each day. Keep it simple. 3 to 5 small promises that you will keep no matter what. These promises should not depend on motivation, mood, or circumstance. They are daily disciplines that ground you. It might be drinking a set amount of water, writing for 15 minutes, or making your bed. Over time, these daily victories accumulate into a lifestyle of reliability. You don't need to announce them to the world. They are private victories that shape your character. One more thing to understand is that your mind does not forget. If you break promises too often, your brain will remind you of your past failures. This creates hesitation and self-doubt when you face new challenges. On the other hand, if you keep promises consistently, your brain reminds you of your past victories. This creates confidence when you face new challenges. The past either weighs you down or lifts you up, depending on the pattern you've created. That's why today matters. What you do today shapes the story your brain tells you tomorrow. You will notice that as you build this habit, your standards rise. You will no longer tolerate excuses from yourself. You will no longer accept half-finished efforts. You will expect reliability because you've proven it to yourself. That expectation becomes natural. It no longer feels like discipline. It feels like who you are. That is when you know you've won over your mind. You no longer fight with it. You simply act in alignment with the person you've trained yourself to be. The long-term reward of this practice is freedom. Freedom from guilt, from regret, from broken promises. Freedom to trust yourself fully. Freedom to take on challenges, knowing you won't back down. That freedom is priceless. It changes how you walk into a room, how you approach opportunities, and how you handle setbacks. People notice it, but more importantly, you feel it. And it all begins with the decision to keep the simple promises you make to yourself. If you want to transform your life, don't chase dramatic gestures. Start with the smallest commitments, and keep them. Over and over. Day after day. Watch how your confidence grows. Watch how your self-respect deepens. Watch how your mind shifts from doubting you to believing in you. That shift is the foundation for everything else. You win over your mind not with talk, but with proof. And proof comes from promises kept, one small victory at a time. Chapter 8. Break the cycle of delay by acting in the moment. Delay is one of the most dangerous habits a person can carry because it feels harmless in the moment. You tell yourself you'll do it later, you'll handle it tomorrow, you'll start when the timing feels right. At first it doesn't seem like a big deal. You convince yourself that pushing things off won't really matter, but over time, this cycle of delay robs you of progress, creates guilt, and destroys momentum. Every time you delay, you make the next step harder. You train your brain to expect hesitation, and when hesitation becomes normal, you end up watching your life pass by without moving forward. The cure is to act in the moment. Not tomorrow, not when you feel like it, not when conditions are perfect. Right now, your brain has a built-in habit of avoiding discomfort. When faced with effort, it immediately looks for an excuse to postpone. That's why you find yourself saying, "I'll do it later," even for small tasks like making a call, replying to a message, or finishing a report. But here's the truth. Later rarely comes. Tomorrow looks just like today. If you don't act now, you won't magically feel more motivated or more ready later. The only way to break the cycle is to interrupt it with immediate action. Once you act, even in a small way, you weaken the power of delay. Think about how much time is wasted in hesitation. You sit with the thought of what you need to do, and the longer you sit, the heavier it feels. Your mind exaggerates the task. It builds it up into something overwhelming. That's why action is so powerful. Action cuts through the noise. The moment you start, the weight begins to lift. The problem shrinks because you've stopped thinking about it and started dealing with it. Acting in the moment gives you clarity, while delaying only creates fog. The most important shift is understanding that you don't need to feel ready to begin. Waiting for the right mood is a trap. Readiness comes after you start, not before. Once you take a step, your brain adjusts. Energy rises, focus sharpens. You've probably experienced this before, dreading a task, finally starting, and then realizing it wasn't nearly as bad as you imagined. That is the psychology of momentum. Motion creates readiness. Sitting in delay only deepens resistance. One practical way to train yourself out of delay is to use the rule of immediate action. When a task appears and you know it matters, act on it within a short window, make the call, write the first sentence, open the file, take the first step. Don't let the space between thought and action widen, because that space is where delay grows. Shorten the gap. Teach your brain that decisions are followed by movement. The more you practice this, the more automatic it becomes. Another powerful practice is to shrink the task down. Many people delay because they look at the whole project and feel overwhelmed. They think about the hours it will take, the energy required, the challenge ahead. Instead of tackling the whole thing, commit to just starting. If you need to write, start with one paragraph. If you need to exercise, start with 10 minutes. If you need to clean, start with one drawer. Acting in the moment doesn't mean finishing everything at once. It means beginning right now. Beginning is the hardest part. Once you break through it, the rest becomes manageable. It also helps to recognize the cost of delay in emotional terms. Every time you delay, you carry guilt with you. You feel uneasy, distracted, and restless. Even when you try to relax, the thought of what you avoided lingers in your mind. That mental weight drains more energy than the task itself. Acting in the moment frees you from that burden. You gain peace of mind because you did what you said you would do. That peace is worth far more than the comfort of postponing. Consider how much of life is lost in waiting. People wait for the perfect time to start their fitness journey, the perfect conditions to start a business, the perfect moment to speak up, the perfect day to change habits. That perfect moment never arrives. What happens instead is years of delay, years of excuses, years of opportunities slipping away. Acting in the moment may not feel perfect, but it creates progress. Progress is messy, uncomfortable and uncertain, but it's real. Delay gives you nothing but regret. Another important skill is learning to separate thinking from doing. Too much time is spent analyzing, planning, and considering without acting. Planning has value, but overthinking is just another form of delay. When you catch yourself going in circles, remind yourself that clarity comes from execution. You don't need to know every step before you start, you just need to know the first one and take it. Acting in the moment reveals the next step. Waiting only keeps you stuck. Environment plays a role in this as well. If your surroundings are full of distractions, delay becomes easier. You must create an environment that supports immediate action. Put your phone out of reach when you need to work. Keep your workspace clear. Remove temptations that feed procrastination. The less friction between you and your task, the easier it is to act. Design your environment so that action becomes natural and delay becomes inconvenient. Accountability also helps break the cycle. When you keep your commitments private, it's easier to delay because no one else sees it. But when you tell someone your plan or write it down in a visible place, the pressure to follow through increases. You've created a standard outside of your mood. This doesn't mean relying on others for motivation. It means using accountability as a tool to reinforce action in the moment. The deeper reason people delay is often fear. Fear of failure. Fear of rejection. Fear of discomfort. Delay is the mind's way of protecting you from what it perceives as a threat. But avoiding the fear only makes it stronger. The longer you wait, the scarier it feels. The cure is exposure. Acting in the moment forces you to face the fear directly. Each time you do, the fear shrinks. Over time, what once felt terrifying becomes normal. This is how courage is built, not by waiting until you feel fearless, but by acting while fear is still present. To build this habit, you must redefine how you see yourself. Stop calling yourself a procrastinator. Stop identifying with delay. Instead, build the identity of someone who acts quickly. Each time you take immediate action, reinforce that identity. Tell yourself, "I act now, I don't wait." Over time, this becomes your standard. You no longer see immediate action as unusual. It becomes who you are. Imagine the life that opens up when you live this way. Tasks are no longer carried day to day. Opportunities are seized instead of missed. Goals move forward because action is consistent. Your confidence grows because you can trust yourself to follow through. Stress decreases because you no longer live under the weight of unfinished business. Acting in the moment does not just change your productivity, it changes how you feel about yourself. Breaking the cycle of delay is one of the most liberating shifts you can make. It gives you momentum, clarity and freedom. It takes you out of hesitation and into action. And the truth is, the only difference between people who succeed and people who stay stuck is that the successful act while the others wait. They hear the same doubts, feel the same resistance, but they choose to move now. That single habit separates progress from stagnation. So the next time you catch yourself saying, "I'll do it later," stop, recognize that as the beginning of the cycle. Don't let the cycle repeat, act in the moment. Even a small step is enough to break the pattern. Send the message, write the first line, take the first action. Each time you do, you weaken delay and strengthen discipline. With repetition, acting in the moment becomes natural, and the habit of postponing fades away. Your life will not change someday. It changes the moment you take action. The moment you stop waiting and start doing. The moment you decide that delay has stolen enough from you, and it's time to claim your progress now. That choice is in front of you, every single day. Break the cycle. Act in the moment. That's how you take back control of your time, your goals, and your future.
Chapter 9. Grow tougher each day by saying yes to discipline. Discipline is the foundation of strength. Every time you choose it, you grow tougher. Every time you avoid it, you stay the same. Life constantly places you at crossroads, where you can either say yes to discipline or yes to comfort. The choice you make in those small daily moments shapes the entire direction of your life. When you wake up and decide to get moving instead of hitting snooze, that's discipline. When you finish your work before relaxing, that's discipline. When you keep a commitment you made to yourself even though it feels inconvenient, that's discipline. And each of these choices toughens you in ways you cannot see in the moment, but feel deeply over time. Discipline is often misunderstood. People think it's about punishment or restriction, but it's the opposite. Discipline is the pathway to freedom. It is the tool that allows you to live with self-respect. Without discipline, you become a prisoner of your impulses. You eat when you shouldn't. You quit when it gets hard. You delay what you know matters, and you end up controlled by weakness instead of strength. With discipline, you become free because you can trust yourself. You know you will follow through. You know you will do what must be done. That self-trust is what builds toughness. Toughness is not something you're born with. It is created every time you say yes to discipline, when it would be easier to quit. Think of the moments when you resisted temptation, when you completed a task despite fatigue, when you stuck to your standard, even when nobody else was watching. Those are the bricks that build resilience, and the more often you practice it, the tougher you become. What once felt impossible becomes normal. What once broke you no longer has power. Discipline hardens your character into something unshakable. The challenge is that discipline rarely feels good at the start. It demands effort when your feelings want rest. It asks for consistency when your mind wants variety. It requires commitment when your emotions are uncertain. But this is exactly why it builds toughness. Comfort does not shape you. Resistance does. Growth happens in the moments when you choose the harder road instead of the easy one. The reward isn't only the result of the action, it's the strength you gain from doing it. Saying yes to discipline doesn't always mean huge sacrifices. It often means small, repeated actions that accumulate. Waking up on time, exercising when planned, eating responsibly, keeping promises, staying focused. None of these actions are dramatic in isolation, but practiced daily, they add up to an iron-like toughness. They transform how you see yourself. You stop thinking of discipline as something painful and start seeing it as who you are. And when that shift happens, you no longer fight against it, you embrace it. You need to also recognize the role discipline plays when life becomes unpredictable. Stress, challenges, and setbacks will always come. If you haven't built discipline beforehand, you will fold under pressure. But if you've trained yourself daily, you'll be steady when storms arrive. Discipline builds a reservoir of strength that you can draw from when life tests you. That's why growing tougher each day is essential. You cannot wait until the crisis arrives to build toughness. You must build it in advance through daily choices. One of the greatest gifts of discipline is clarity. Without it, life feels chaotic. You don't know what to do first. You feel pulled in every direction, and your mind is unsettled. Discipline cuts through that chaos by giving you structure. You know what must be done, and you do it regardless of mood. That clarity itself builds toughness, because it eliminates the endless negotiation with yourself. You stop wasting energy debating whether to act. You simply act, and that decisiveness strengthens you every single day. To live with discipline, you must create standards and honor them. Standards are the rules you set for yourself that define how you operate. For example, you might set a standard that you never miss a workout you scheduled, that you finish work before entertainment, that you don't break commitments once they are made. These standards act as boundaries for your behavior. Each time you honor them, you build toughness. Each time you break them, you weaken yourself. The difference between strong people and weak people often comes down to who keeps their standards and who makes exceptions for their emotions. Another critical aspect
is to stop romanticizing motivation. Motivation is unreliable. It comes and goes, depending on mood, energy, and circumstances. If you wait for it, you will waste most of your life waiting. Discipline removes the need for motivation. It says, I will do this because I decided to, not because I feel like it. That shift is what makes you tougher. Anyone can act when they feel inspired. Few can act when they don't. Toughness is choosing discipline without needing motivation to hold your hand. Think about the long-term impact. A person who says yes to discipline daily is a completely different person after 1 year, 5 years, or 10 years. They have sharper focus, stronger habits, more resilience, and deeper confidence. They've trained themselves to act even when conditions are not favorable. They've built a track record of reliability. On the other hand, a person who says no to discipline daily becomes weaker over time. They lose trust in themselves. They live with regret and frustration. Their toughness fades because they never gave themselves the chance to grow. It's also important to understand that discipline is not about perfection. You will stumble. You will break promises sometimes. The key is to get back on track quickly. Toughness is not about never falling. It's about never staying down. Each time you return to discipline after a slip, you build even more strength. You prove to yourself that failure is not the end. It's just part of the process. This resilience is what makes you unshakable over time. One way to train toughness is to deliberately add challenges into your day. Take the stairs instead of the elevator. Wake up earlier than necessary. Do an extra set when you exercise. Resist an unnecessary indulgence. These small acts of self-discipline may seem insignificant, but they build a mindset that embraces difficulty instead of avoiding it. The more you seek out small challenges, the more prepared you are for larger ones. You are teaching your brain that growth comes from leaning into effort, not running from it. Another way is to track your progress. Write down each time you say yes to discipline. Build a record of your victories. When doubt creeps in, you can look back at that record as proof of your toughness. This proof matters. It reminds you that you are not weak, that you have already shown strength, and that you can do it again. Seeing progress builds confidence, and confidence fuels further discipline. The daily practice of discipline also strengthens your ability to resist external pressures. The world constantly tempts you with distractions, quick fixes, and shortcuts. Without discipline, you are vulnerable to all of them. With discipline, you say no easily because you are already committed to something great. You grow tougher, not only against your own impulses, but against the pressures of the world around you. That kind of toughness makes you stand out. It makes you reliable in a society where most people quit early. Imagine the pride of looking at yourself in the mirror, knowing that you can trust your own decisions. That pride is not built from easy days. It's built from disciplined days. From the mornings you didn't want to rise, but did. From the tasks you didn't want to complete, but finished. From the temptations you didn't want to resist, but overcame. Each of those victories is invisible to the world, but they are powerful to you. They shape how you carry yourself. They shape how you speak, how you work, how you lead. That's the gift of discipline. So when life gives you the option, and it always will, choose discipline. Choose it in the small things, because those build the big things. Choose it when it's inconvenient, because that's when it matters most. Choose it daily, because discipline is not built in one act, but in repeated acts that harden your character. Each yes to discipline toughens you. Each yes to discipline makes you more reliable. Each yes to discipline pushes you closer to the life you want. There is no shortcut to toughness. There is no easy way to grow into the person you dream of being. It happens through the grind of daily discipline. It happens through saying yes when laziness says no. It happens through honoring commitments when comfort tempts you to quit. This process may be hard, but it's also liberating. Because once you've trained yourself this way, you know that no matter what life throws at you, you can handle it. You've grown tougher day by day, choice by choice. That's how people change their lives. Not with one dramatic decision, but with 1,000 small ones.
Each one is a yes to discipline. Each one is a step toward strength. And if you keep saying yes, you won't just build discipline. You will build a life that others admire and that you are proud to live.
Chapter 10. Strengthen your mind by showing action controls your life. Your mind becomes stronger when you stop letting thoughts and feelings run the show and start proving through consistent action that you are in charge. Too many people spend their lives in their head, planning, dreaming, and overthinking, while never building the habit of following through. They confuse intention with progress, but the truth is, only action changes anything. When you show yourself daily that action directs your life, your mind begins to reshape itself. It learns that your decisions are not just ideas, but commands that must be honored. That is how mental strength is created, not through endless reflection, but through repeated action that reinforces who you are becoming. When you allow hesitation to control you, your mind grows weaker. Every time you say you will do something but don't follow through, you build a pattern of failure in your own psychology. You teach yourself that your words mean nothing. Over time, this corrodes self-belief. You stop trusting yourself, and when you don't trust yourself, you doubt everything you attempt. The opposite happens when you act. Each time you take a step, even a small one, you prove to your brain that you are dependable. That proof builds strength, it builds confidence, it builds momentum. Action is more powerful than motivation. Waiting for the perfect mindset before acting is a trap that keeps you stuck. Your brain will always find reasons to delay. If you want to strengthen your mind, you must flip the script. Act first, let your feelings catch up later. Once you begin, resistance fades. Once you move, energy rises. Once you commit, clarity comes. The key is to stop asking yourself whether you feel ready and to start proving through action that readiness is irrelevant. The stronger your mind becomes, the less you rely on mood and the more you rely on discipline. To build this kind of strength, you must train yourself in small, practical ways. Do the things you promise yourself in small, practical ways. Do the things you promise yourself immediately, no matter how insignificant they seem. If you say you'll wake up at 6, get out of bed at 6 without negotiation. If you say you'll work for an hour, sit down and start right on time. If you say you'll read 10 pages, pick up the book and turn the pages. Each of these moments may appear minor, but they are not. They are deposits into the account of self-trust. They are how your brain learns that action defines your life, not excuses. The reason this works is because your mind is always seeking evidence. It constantly asks, "Can I rely on myself?" When you act, you provide a yes. When you hesitate, you provide a no. The more yeses you give, the stronger your mind becomes. You no longer waste time doubting. You know you can handle challenges because you've built the proof through action after action. This is how ordinary people create extraordinary strength, not by waiting for courage, but by repeatedly proving through action that they are capable. Consider how many problems in life are made worse by delay. A task left unfinished grows heavier the longer it waits. A conversation avoided becomes more awkward as time passes. A responsibility ignored creates stress that builds until it overwhelms you. Action is the cure. The moment you face the task, have the conversation, or accept the responsibility, the pressure begins to lift. Your mind learns that problems are not solved in your head, they are solved by movement. This lesson builds resilience, because you stop fearing challenges. You know that whatever comes, you will act. Another benefit of choosing action is that it breaks the cycle of overthinking. The human mind has a tendency to spin stories, to exaggerate, to create unnecessary fear. The more you sit and think, the more tangled these stories become. Action cuts through them. When you take the step, the imagined obstacles often vanish. You realize the task wasn't as big as you thought, the fear wasn't as real as it felt,
the work wasn't as impossible as your mind insisted. Strength is built each time you silence the noise of overthinking, with the clarity of doing. To strengthen your mind further, you must stop giving power to excuses. Excuses will always appear, dressed in convincing language. They'll tell you that today is not the right day, that you're too tired, that you'll be more focused tomorrow. If you follow them, you weaken your mental muscle. But if you reject them and take action anyway, you prove that you are in charge. That moment of defiance is where growth happens. You show your mind that excuses don't dictate your life, your choices do. It's also essential to measure progress, not by what you thought about doing, but by what you actually did. People often give themselves credit for planning, but planning without execution is worthless. Mental strength is earned in the execution. At the end of each day, ask yourself, what actions did I take? Not, what did I think about? That simple shift in measurement rewires your brain to value results over intention. Over time, you begin to live by action naturally, because you've trained your focus away from wishful thinking and onto tangible proof. One of the deepest changes that happens when you let action control your life is the transformation of identity. At first, you may see yourself as inconsistent, weak, or unmotivated, but each time you act, you chip away at that old identity. You replace it with a new one, disciplined, reliable, strong. Identity is not changed by wishing, it's changed by evidence. And the evidence comes from action. The more actions you take, the faster the old version of yourself fades, and the new one emerges. To keep this practice alive, create daily rituals that demand action. Start your day with a meaningful task completed right away. This might be exercise, journaling, or focused work. Finishing something early in the day sets the tone. It tells your mind that action controls the pace of your life, not hesitation. Then, as the day unfolds, continue stacking actions. Don't wait for inspiration. Act, then act again. Build rhythm. This rhythm conditions your brain to associate action with progress and waiting with stagnation. Another powerful way to strengthen your mind is to deliberately embrace tasks that you resist. The more you avoid something, the more power it gains over you. By acting on the very things you resist most, you reclaim that power. If you dread making a call, make it first. If you resist exercising, put on your shoes and start moving. If you keep postponing a project, open it now and begin. Each time you do this, your mind learns that resistance is not a stop sign. It's just a signal that action is needed. Over time, this habit makes you unbreakable because nothing can control you for long. It's also important to see how action affects emotion. Many people wait for better emotions before moving, but emotions often change after movement. Think about how you feel after finishing something important. You feel lighter, prouder, more energized. That shift happens because action reshapes your emotional state. By taking control of your behavior, you indirectly take control of your emotions. This is how you stop being a victim of feelings and start being a creator of them. The long-term reward of living this way is peace of mind. When you consistently act, you don't carry the guilt of undone tasks. You don't live with the weight of broken promises. You end your days with satisfaction instead of regret. That peace strengthens your mind further because it removes the constant drain of self-disappointment. It creates a cycle where action fuels strength, and strength fuels more action. Of course, building this habit is not easy. You will face resistance, setbacks, and failures. But each time you return to action, after a slip, you become stronger. The ability to restart quickly is part of mental toughness. It shows your mind that mistakes don't define you, your return to action does. This resilience is what separates those who keep growing from those who quit. Imagine yourself a year from now, living with this standard. Instead of hesitating, You act, instead of waiting, you begin, instead of doubting, you do. Your life looks completely different, because the gap between decision and action has closed. You no longer waste energy in the cycle of delay and regret. You live by proof. You trust yourself, because you've shown yourself through thousands of actions that you are in control. That kind of mental strength is rare, and it's what creates extraordinary lives. Action is not glamorous, it's often simple, quiet, and unseen by others, but it is the single most powerful tool you have to strengthen your mind. Every choice to act, no matter how small, is a training session. Every step taken builds the muscle of discipline. Every moment you show yourself that action decides your life is a victory that shapes your future. And if you keep practicing this, day after day, your mind will become unshakable. So stop waiting for clarity, for motivation, for the perfect plan. None of those build strength. Strength is built in the moment you decide and act. That is how you prove to yourself that action controls your life. That is how you gain freedom from hesitation. That is how you create a mind that is tough, reliable, and capable of carrying you to the life you want.